Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Imogen Ragone, who's an Alexander Technique teacher in Wilmington, Delaware. And we're going to talk about constructive rest, which is an Alexander Technique process. Sometimes it's referred to as Alexander lying down position. Sometimes it's called semi-supine. Sometimes it's referred to as active rest. And we're just going to talk today about some of the benefits of it and why it's so useful for people, even if they're not taking Alexander lessons. Imogen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here. I wonder, since a lot of our listeners may not even know much about the Alexander technique, would you care to offer a one or two or three sentence description of it?
Sure. So a simple way to think of the Alexander technique is that it's a way of learning to be aware of and change harmful habits. So such as habits of posture, excess tension, the way we react. And undoing these habits leads to improvements in our overall coordination, our balance, ease of movement.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a nutshell.
In a nutshell, right. And the Alexander lying down position is something that is often used in conjunction with Alexander lessons. That is, a teacher will often have a student be in that position for part of the lesson, lying on a table or a massage table. But it's also very frequently assigned as a kind of a homework for students to do on their own.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
I don't know about you, but in my experience, students who do it generally make a lot more progress than students who don't.
Yes, I agree. You've
had that experience too. Mm-hmm. So maybe we should begin to, just describing that position. Do you want to go first on that?
Sure. Well, the classic position would be lying on your back with your head elevated a little bit on, typically you might use a few books, but anything that will just get it, I'd say, more in line with your spine. So your head is not tipping back, but not so far up that it's sort of, you're tucking your chin and compressing. So just sort of getting it so the neck can be easy. The knees are raised. And usually people sort of bend their arms and let their hands rest sort of on the abdomen area. But there's some variations in that and mm-hmm. actually of the legs. But that's sort of the most traditionally used, I would say, position to be in.
Right. And usually on a fairly firm surface.
Yes. Yeah.
Not necessarily a wooden floor, but perhaps a carpeted floor or massage
firm,
table.
Firm, but with a little padding so it's not uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And there are all kinds of variants. Sometimes instead of having your knees bent and the feet flat on the floor, some teachers might use a bolster under your knees, the key being to elevate your knees relative to your hips. Another sort of standard or semi-standard idea might be to have your lower legs resting on a couch, so that, again, you have your knees are higher than your hips. I think that's a pretty key
feature. Yes, and I
think
those two things, especially for people who've got low back, hip kind of issues, are really helpful, because if you've got, you know, habitual tension and pain in those areas, it's really hard to let go. If you have to do a little something to balance your knees up, you know. So having them just resting over something, and I think especially if you're lying down on your own and you've got low back pain, to let the lower legs rest over a low piece of furniture, an ottoman, a couch or something, is really a nice thing to do for yourself.
And this is a question I asked another person on this topic, but I'd be interested in your take on it as well, since the Alexander technique is really about learning how to move more easily and go through life with greater ease. This seems like a kind of a retreat from activity. How does that fit in with the broader aim of the Alexander technique in your view?
Well, I see it as really a way of practicing without the stimulation of our lives, practicing using ourselves, if I can use that way, coordinating ourselves in a good way. We're sort of, if you want to just think simply about posture, we're learning it in a passive way that we can be releasing muscles and letting go. And how can I describe this? Sort of our body is getting used to something that it may not be used to upright. So it's something we can learn. It's something that we're learning.
Yeah, well, I mean, it does kind of release you from any obligation to do anything, certainly in the more passive version of lying down with a su support under your knees or with your legs on a couch. There really is absolutely nothing that you have to do. Even with your feet on the ground, there is a little something you need to do to keep your legs from falling out or falling in, but it's fairly minimal. And I think there's a huge advantage in deliberately putting yourself in a situation where it's very clear there isn't anything to do, and yet you're conscious, you're not asleep, and it kind of helps you to be clear what doing nothing is, or what.
Yeah, if you don't know what doing nothing is, how can you maybe bring some of that quality to when you are actually doing something?
Right,
That
because
makes sense.
if you're carrying around a kind of a background tension that's there all the time, and we know that a lot of people, even when they go to sleep at night, are doing things like overusing their jaw and clenching their teeth and all that sort of stuff. And I mean, a lot of people, even at a time when you would think there isn't anything to do, are in fact doing a lot of extra stuff. And here's an opportunity to be in a rest position, but you're maintaining wakefulness and you're hopefully maintaining some, or you're developing some awareness, or you're interested in what's going on. And you may start to notice tensions, and that's really the first step of releasing them.
When I give group classes, and often a lie down is part of them, and there's a talk through. And when I'm talking to my private students, when I'm working with them, I mean, always the first thing is being aware, even being aware of the surface you're lying on. So, kind of getting yourself present to what's going on now, because our minds just like to run ahead to everything that we've got to do, and sort of bring it back and being aware of what's going on now. So it can be really very powerful in learning to do that.
And I don't know about you, but I've found both with myself and my students that if all you do is just lie down for 10 or 15 minutes a day, kind of quiet yourself, that in itself is pretty powerful. But there are perhaps after you've been doing that for a while and you're familiar with it, comfortable with it. There are some Alexander type directions, you might say, that could be useful to use. When do you introduce those in with your students?
I guess I start to introduce some elements of them really quite early on. But as you say, the main thing they've got to know about the lie down, if you like, is that they don't actually have to do anything. So when I, for instance, say something to the effect of allowing your back to release into length and width or something along those lines, that they have to understand that they're not to do that, they're not to sort of start pushing it onto the table or the floor or so
So maybe just the very idea of following a verbal set of instructions, very simple in this case, without actually clenching or in some way adding a lot of tension to your body, that in itself may be kind of a new experience for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think you're probably
You
right.
know, I
Yes.
mean, we are a modern people living in modern countries are kind of bombarded by stimuli, and we often you see an awful lot of people pretty tight in their bodies as they go through life. And here's the way to not only unwind in a conscious way, but also to be able to listen to or to act on or think about something without actually doing anything about it.
Yes, and that's
That's
quite
pretty,
a skill.
it is a
Yes.
skill, and it doesn't get developed overnight for most of us, but it's an incredibly powerful skill to learn in
And
terms
this
of your
is
functioning.
really the skill of the Alexander technique, and learning to do this lying down is sort of a precursor often to being able to use it when you're doing some upright activity, but it's sort of easier to learn it in this lying down place often first.
Anything else that you'd like to say about the process itself?
Yes, then just that, even though from an Alexander point of view, we would like people to be aware and conscious and, starting to use their thinking some while they're lying down. I mean, simply lying down, and if you fall to sleep, it's not the end of the world. That might not be the, purpose of it, but lying down and going to sleep in this position is still going to be more helpful to you than, collapsing into a soft couch and zoning out. I know I use this, for instance, when I've flown to England on that long flight overnight, and I do what I call sleepy lie downs maybe three times during the day the next day, and I know I'm going to fall asleep because I'm just, but I also want the sort of things to unravel from being in that airplane seat all night, and so I think that's probably a better solution than me just sort of zoning out on the couch for half an hour. So.
Because if you are, as you say, zoning out on a couch, you're kind of sinking into a soft surface, and there's not a lot there that would encourage you to lengthen, to release into length, right? Everything is kind of, you just sort of sink into it.
Yeah, also, I know when I was first taking lessons myself, I felt like the lie down was my sort of lifeline. It was something I could do myself, whereas I felt like I couldn't really put much of anything else into effect in my life. But I knew if I did my daily lie down, I was better off, and it was something I could do. I was very, very conscientious about my lie downs, but it was definitely worth it. However, I think probably for the first few months, I almost always fell asleep during part of it because I don't think I knew how to let go without being sort of unconscious. At that time, I was very tense. But I always made sure, especially as time went on, to have part of the beginning, part of the end, where I'd be thinking and aware, and so I sort of got the best of both worlds.
Well, I when listening to you say that, it kind of reminds me of people who start meditating. Often the whole idea of sitting, say they're sitting in a chair and meditating for 15 or 20 minutes, the whole idea of sort of being quietly by yourself, having certain kind of consciousness. Meditation, of course, is different maybe from normal waking consciousness, but that idea of being present quietly with mm-hmm. yourself,
it's quite foreign to a lot of people.
It's very foreign mm-hmm. to a lot of Americans and Europeans. It mm-hmm. may be a little more familiar in Asia, but I mean you can reap an awful lot of benefits from that in your life, I guess is what I would say. Do you have anything, we're perhaps coming to the end of our conversation, but do you have any sort of inspirational words for someone listening that might encourage them to give this a try?
I don't know about inspirational, but just a little story comes to mind of a lady who is in my a group class that I teach, and we start off the group class with the lying down. And she came and she said she didn't think she deserved it that day because she hadn't really done very much. And I really had to sort of encourage her that this is not sort of a reward because you've had a stressful or a very physical day. This is something that we can practice every day and can actually be preventing some of the stresses and tensions in our body ahead of time. And it's also, as I said, it's practicing some of the things we want in our body and our mind, so just to encourage you, you don't have to sort of deserve it, because you've worked
it's
really,
your
really
right
hard.
It's yeah. your right yeah. to do that, yeah. And I'm just a final story. I had a student for several years who, I strongly urged her to do the lying down at home, and I think she was pretty sporadic in that. And then she attended a class I gave where I demonstrated the lying down position, and I said how useful it was, all the things that we've been talking about. And the next time I saw her in a lesson, she said, I never really believed you when you said that I should do this at home. I just thought that was something you said for some reason. And but then I heard you talk to the group, and so I started doing it for the last week. And every day for about 15 minutes. And it's just made a gigantic difference in my life. And I wish I had done that 3 years ago, or 2 years ago, whenever
surprising.
It was.
Surprising. Some people are very reluctant to do it. And, I know for some people it isn't easy wherever their place of work is. Although, for instance, my husband is able to shut his office door and will do one sometimes, but just including it at some point in your day. And I've had students who work at home, maybe are on the computer a lot, and they'll not do one sort of long lie down. One student did multiple sort of mini, maybe 5 minute, maybe even less lie mm-hmm. downs, but it sort of helped her, break up that time at the computer.
It's a very effective break. Yeah. If you're doing a lot of studying or mm-hmm. writing or any yes. activity, any activity that, especially one that takes your attention away from yourself, which yes. pretty much most activities do, mm-hmm. this is a great way to come back to yourself. And just, if nothing else, just the biomechanics of being in that position are pretty helpful to just about everybody.
But to be honest, I think most people are more productive for it. So rather than thinking of it as taking time away from your work, think of it as something that's going to help you, be more mm-hmm. productive longer mm-hmm. in a way.
Right. I think that's absolutely the case. Well, we're going to put by this interview a link to a page that has lots of information about the lying down process. It has links to many other pictures, audio descriptions, videos, So if anything that Imogen and I have been talking about intrigues you and you want to give it a try, the information is all out there. There's no special equipment you need. The information itself is free. Do take advantage of it. And of course, if you live in the Wilmington, Delaware area and you want to be shown how to do this firsthand, contact Imogen. We'll put a link to her site there, and we'll also put a link to a site where you can find a teacher anywhere in the world. Imogen, thanks so much for being on the show.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Robert.